Well, I really, really hate to do this 2 weeks in a row, but I'm going to use another basketball story. I could do that every week, but you'd get tired of them. So, but 2 weeks in a row. So real quick, this is participation time. I need you, if you, you're going to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you would say that you love basketball. Raise your hand if you love basketball. Actually, that was more than I thought. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, raise your hand if you know who Michael Jordan is. Got it. Very nice. You can put your hands down. So even if you don't love basketball, you would say that you know who, and a lot of people like would call him MJ. Those of us that think we're cool and actually know him, but we'd say MJ, right? Well, experts, those people on ESPN, they would say that Michael Jordan is the greatest basketball player of all times. I don't know how many of you know this, but today Michael Jordan is turning 50 years old. 50 years old today. Now, when I was in high school, which was about 5 years ago, like roughly 20 plus or minus years ago. So several years ago when I was in high school, they produced this video of Michael Jordan. It was about a 45-minute video, and it was called Come Fly With Me. And it was all these highlights of Michael, and I think we're going to play some here. Yeah, well, I'll just talk. It's kind of fuzzy. We ripped it off the internet. But anyway, this video was put together, and basically I would try and watch this video before every basketball game that I would play in. And it was, again, 45 minutes. Some weeks it didn't work or sometime. But basically about twice a week I would sit down and I would watch this entire video. If I were to watch it, I could tell you what he's going to do before he starts to do it. The reason I watched it is because I wanted to see what I hope to be able to do. And I figured that if I saw it, if I saw what it looked like for the greatest player to do something, then I would have a chance to be great. My idea was that if I could see what it looks like to be lived out, then I would begin to understand and it would reveal to me what it would look like to replicate. It's still going. It is unbelievable. I was telling some people today, I was like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but let's get together this afternoon and watch the whole video just to... to celebrate the 50th. But my hope was that I could move from just being able to play well to being able to play better by just seeing it done over and over again. And honestly, it gave me this crazy confidence going into it because I had seen what it looks like. Today, my hope is to show you what faith looks like. Today, I want you to begin to see and understand what it means to not just hope, not to just cross our fingers and dream and wish about what would happen, but begin to understand what it means to have faith and what faith looks like. So real quick, what we need to do is, because this is a series and we started last week, I need to just quickly bring you up to speed in case you weren't here and review a little bit, in case I bored you and you don't remember. But here's what we talked about last week. The number one thing is that it's dangerous for us to have circumstantial faith. Basically, circumstantial faith is anytime we establish or create our view of faith around the events or the situations in our life or in the world. And so our tendency with circumstantial faith, our tendency is for our view of God to be determined, or the foundation of our faith in God to be determined by the things that happen around us. So, for example, if life is going really, really great, then we're like, God is great, right? Big high five, way to go, God, this is good. But if life starts to turn or it gets a little rough, we start to get mad at God and we start to wonder, we're like, why is God not responding? My faith in God, I don't think he's listening. I don't think he's there. Or if life gets really ugly, I mean, like just horribly ugly and you can't make sense of it. And it does. You have no idea where God is in the picture. All of a sudden we can get to the point where our faith is essentially saying, you know what? I don't even know if God exists. I don't even know if he does, he doesn't care. And because life is so random and because life is so unpredictable, circumstantial faith becomes very, very fragile. And there are a bunch of us in this room. There are people in this room who are just coming back to church, who are just coming back to God because you've been away for a long time, because something happened when you were younger. Maybe your parents got divorced and just rocked your world. Maybe somebody violated your trust. Maybe you were going to a church and they just let you down and they hurt you. And all of those circumstances crushed your faith in who God is, destroyed your faith in religion, and it just sent you away. And now you're in the process of starting to think about it and started coming back to God and sort of saying, okay, I got to check this thing out. But our circumstances can become so fragile that they can just throw us into a tailspin that can send us away or send us off for years and sometimes never to recover. Now, it's important to know this. God will oftentimes use our circumstances or use our situations as a catalyst, as a launching point to get us to, or bring us to a point of believing. God will use the things in our life. He'll do something in our circumstance that will lead us to begin to place our faith in Him. Where maybe God comes through in a way that's big time, where you really needed God, where you looked at a situation and you're like, there is no way I can handle this. I couldn't do this on my own. And all of a sudden, it was clear there was some God stuff going on. And your faith got a kickstart because God revealed Himself. We have to understand that God never intended for that circumstance to be the foundation of our faith. God wants to use that or use that circumstance to get our faith rolling. And since circumstantial faith is so fragile and such a dangerous place to be the foundation, what we need to then determine is, what's the foundation for our faith that's going to be solid? What is it that's not going to move? And what we looked at last week is the individuals that say, you know what, I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to place my, like a Christian faith. If I'm going to look to God, what we saw last week is that faith is based on the person and historical evidence of Jesus Christ. Faith isn't something that we base on whether or not a prayer was answered. Faith is not based on whether or not life treats us well. Faith that is solid is a faith that is grounded in the person of Jesus Christ, that He came and He lived on earth, that He came and He claimed to be God. And not only did He claim to be God, He revealed it to be true by demonstrating His power. And then He announced that He had come to bring forgiveness and to bring hope and to bring restoration between people and God, that if we would have faith in Him and trust in Him, that He would bring us into relationship with God and then begin to show us how to live the fullest life. That's the faith that has a foundation. And there's plenty of evidence within the Bible. There's also a ton of eyewitnesses that said, this is true. And people said, we're going to kill you unless you say it's not. And they said, it's true, so I'm going to do it. And then they were killed. And they were there. They saw Jesus and they held to their story. There was evidence. There's multiple sources of evidence, historical evidence that are outside of Scripture, outside of the Bible, that also confirm who Jesus was, who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and what He is capable of doing. So if you're a Christian and if God never answers another prayer, if your faith is in Jesus and your life in God never moves in another powerful way, in your circumstances, if it looks like and it feels like life is against you for the rest of your days, when you've placed your faith in Jesus, you can then face each and every day with the confidence that the person of who Jesus Christ is and the historical evidence that confirms that He's God is still there. And He proclaimed that He loved you. He's announced that He wants to forgive you. He's invited you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. And so regardless of what happens for the rest of your life, those things hold true. And your foundation of faith can be solid. So here's what we're going to do today. I want to try to sort of step it up just a little bit more and begin to attempt to define what faith looks like. Kind of give a definition of sorts to what faith would be. And there's a lot of you in the room that if we were going to sit down and define faith, you probably start quoting some verses. And you could say, here's what faith is. Or maybe you read a lot of theologian or theology books. And maybe you've got a great theologian that you could quote. Or maybe you've just developed your own definition of what faith is. But the chances are, for a lot of you, you're not going to necessarily like the definition that I'm going to give you. And my response to that is this. Tough. I've got the microphone, so we're going to go. We're going to go with my definition, and you're just going to have to deal with it. And I have faith that you'll get over it in time. But faith is ultimately a part of each and every one of our lives. Whether you're religious or whether you're not religious, all of us place our faith in something. And if we've decided that we're going to place our faith in God, and then we get to the point where we begin to wonder, why isn't God answering my prayer? We get to the point where we're like, you know what? I heard in church or I heard on the radio, somebody told me that if I have faith, I can move mountains. And you get home and you can't even seem to move the mountain of laundry, right? You're like, ah. The problem is the definition and our understanding of what faith is gets us confused. We think it's this and then we expect this, but faith is actually something totally different. So before I give you my actual definition of what faith is going to be, which I'm confident by the end you're going to agree is the best definition, let's first do this. Let's first uncover what faith is not. And here's why we need to understand what faith is not first. This is why we have to understand this first, is what we tend to do is we want to take God and we want to take him and we want to shrink him down. And we want to make God something that we can hold in our hand. We want to make God something that we can just sort of put in our back pocket and say, well, you know, this thing that I'm dealing with right now, I don't really need you, God. The job interview that I've got set up, I got this. I think I got this. I'm going to go in. I'm going to nail this interview all on my own. And then we go in and we try the interview and we think we're going to get the job and then we just blow the interview. We just mess it up. We don't answer the questions right. And all of a sudden we don't have a job. And now we got bills to pay. And now there's stress at home. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, what pocket did I put? Oh, there he is. And we want to pull God out and be like, okay, I kind of messed it up. I need you to bail me out. I got this problem. I'm stumped on it. And now I need you. What we have to understand is God is not manageable. God is not going to be our lucky rabbit's foot. God is not the genie in the lamp that when we're in trouble, we whip it out and we start, you know, rub it, poof, and now we get to make a wish. That's not what faith is. That's not what our faith in God is all about. So let's break this down a little bit more. Let me give you four descriptions of what faith is not. First, faith is not a power or magic machine. Faith is not luck. I've not actually seen this, and this will blow some of you away. I've not seen the movie Star Wars, but I'm aware that there... Yeah, she's like, I'm leaving. But I've heard of this thing. There's the Force. You know what the Force is? You've heard of the Force? Faith is not the Force. Like, I saw the little commercial with the kid that turned the Jedi on. It's not Force. Yeah, oh, everybody else has seen it. I don't have to explain it. Got it. Okay. I was too busy watching Michael Jordan videos to watch Star Wars. Faith is not our ability to trick or to convince God to suddenly act in a way or to respond in a way that he wasn't actually thinking about. Faith isn't this deal where we come to God and we're like, hey, God, I got this really big pile of faith over here. God, see this big pile of faith? And then, God, do you see the girl on the other side of the room? She's hot. She's cute. And God, I would like to take some of my faith, my big pile of faith, and I would like to cash it in right now, and I would like to use that faith for you to get her to want to marry me. Or flip it around, right? Ladies, you're like, God, I've got my pile of faith, and would you use my faith right now for that fine gentleman to notice me? And to notice me and want to spend the rest of my life. I want to cash in my faith right now. I'm going to play the machine. And then suddenly God's going to be like, wow, look at the pile of faith. I wasn't actually going to do that, but how can I possibly say no? You have way more faith than I was planning on. The fact is, your pile of faith, the more faith you have doesn't give you more pull with God. Any more than a tiny amount of faith will. Jesus actually said, you can have a tiny little itty bitty little piece of faith and you can accomplish great things. The issue isn't the amount of faith we have. The issue is the object of the faith that we have. I have no idea. What was it? Okay, nothing's going to... I'm really afraid of cats, and if it was a cat, it would just freak me out. All right, so I don't know what I was talking about. Let me tell you what else faith is not. Faith is not a formula. Faith is not karma. It's not where, you know, we're going to do a bunch of good things, I'm going to treat people right, and then it's going to come back around. That's not what faith is. Like, if you and I decide to treat people nice and we do good things, we're going to put ourselves in situations in life where good things are just going to happen because we've put ourselves there. It's not faith. Faith it's not hidden in this little safe over here where if we don't figure out the right combination that, well, tough luck, you don't get faith because you don't have, you can't come to it and kind of figure out the right combination to suddenly get God to like, boo, You know, turn it to, you know, three times to the right to 34. Okay, pray on my knees. Now turn it to the left two times. Stop on 73. Get the pastors to pray. Right? Turn it one more time to the right. Stop on 12. Post on Facebook how much faith you have that God is going to move. And then bingo, the door is just going to swing open. Suddenly you've cracked the code and now God is at your fingertips. It's not a formula. It's not something you just figure out. You can't just keep, you know, dialing it in and build up enough faith points that suddenly God's going to be like, well, he's mastered it. He's got the technique now. Well, I really wasn't going to help Brent out, but he turned the dial right. It's not a formula. Faith is also not the same as confidence. It plays a role, but faith is not confidence. If you were to announce, if you were to say, you know what, I have faith that my team is going to win. Basically, you're saying, I have confidence, or I'm confident that they're going to pull it off. They're going to win this game. Now, if you're a Mariners fan and you say, I have confidence that they're going to win, then you need to have your head checked. I'm a Mariners fan, and it would be great if they won, but you look really silly when you say you have confidence that they're going to win. I want them to, but they're not. You might say, you know what? I really, really believe I'm going to get that job. You're just feeling good about it because you're like, you know what? I got the interview. I did a well. You know, you're just feeling good about the likelihood that they're going to offer you the job. If you were to say, you know what? I'm really placing faith in my favorite shirt. She's going to notice me. And when I ask her out, she's going to say, yes, I'm wearing my shirt, right? The shirt just hides your love handles and it makes your arms look big. It's a good play. I mean, it's the right, and chances are you're going to catch your eye, but it's not faith. None of those are really faith. Those are all things that happen because of a situation that's happened in the past and the way things have played out previously. And now you can have confidence based on your present situation that the result's going to be the same as it was last time. You're hoping it works out based on what's played out in the past. The shirt hasn't failed me. Maybe it won't fail me now. If Felix is pitching and we get a couple hits, we might get the win. It's not biblical faith, though. It's confidence in the situation that we see. And it becomes really, really easy to start taking confidence and faith and hope and start kind of interchanging those things. But they're not the same thing. Faith is not the same thing as confidence. Lastly, what faith is not. Faith is not all that difficult. The longer that you and I are Christians, the longer that you follow Jesus, the more we want to make this thing difficult. The more you're not probably going to like the definition that I'm going to give you. Many of you, when I begin to roll out the definition, you're going to want to argue with me. You're going to be like, I got a couple verses that I'm not sure line up with that. Some of you, I don't know if you guys have those conversations in your head where you argue with somebody else, you're going to start playing it out. You're going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to sit the preacher down. I'm going to straighten him out. I'm going to give him a little theology lesson. I'm going to straighten this guy. I didn't know what he's talking about. But the problem is we make faith so tricky and we take faith and we get it all tangled up on getting God to do stuff for us. We take faith and we make it this tool that we think is available to us. For those people that have got church figured out, that's who gets to use it. We think faith is for those people that have figured out how to pray with amazing words. We think faith is for those people who have figured out how to speak with God or speak about God and talk about his power and just, woohoo, God is so great. And everybody in the room gets goosebumps because of the way they talk about God's power. In fact, they talk about God's power so well that God starts to get goosebumps. And we know all the verses and we know that we have attended church enough and we make it this thing. Well, okay, well, if I practice like with a little bit of faith and then I start working on medium-sized faith things and then I'll start working on big faith things and then I can finally do ginormous faith. It's not that difficult. Got to figure out how to understand it, but it's not quite that difficult. And some of you, again, you may not like the definition that we're going to look at. It may not necessarily make sense, but I think if you'll take the definition if you begin to process it more and then go home and begin to look at your life and begin to look at the times, the situations where you were like, where was God in that? How do I make sense of how that played out? If you take this definition of faith and begin to put it against the context of your life, I think it'll begin to become more helpful and explain those situations. I think you can also take this definition of faith and begin to look through parts of Scripture that are really difficult to understand. And like, why did God do that? Or why did God not do that? And if you take this definition of faith and you begin to apply it to Scripture that you can't necessarily always understand, Scripture that's confusing, I think it'll begin to help you understand how God responds and what faith is all about. So the way this is going to work is I define faith. There's going to be some times where I'm going to just throw out some questions. And I just want to warn you ahead of time, don't answer the questions out loud. Because you might look silly. Because the reason is, we want to make it tricky. And we want to make it all complicated. But it's not going to be all that tricky. It's not going to be all that complicated. So here's what we're going to do. Way back in the near the end of the Bible, we get to the book of Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, we come to this chapter. It's chapter 11. And in a lot of ways, chapter 11 of Hebrews is like my Michael Jordan video. And what we're about to see is how faith was lived out in some great ways. How some individuals applied faith in their life or applied faith in God. And then what it looked like. If you don't have a Bible this morning, the scripture is going to be on the screen behind me. It's also in your message notes. But here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, faith is confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith is essentially this. Faith is taking hope and moving it one step further. Faith is essentially being absolutely sure that something is going to work out. Faith is saying, you know what? I can hope for something, and now the outcome that I believe that it's going to be, I now have faith, I'm now certain that it will become a reality. So if I have hope that you and I can go get some coffee, if I have hope that I'm going to send you a text and I'm going to say, hey, this week, could you and I go get coffee? And I just want to talk to you about life. So if I send you that text and I really, really, really hope that you see that text and I really, really, really hope that you respond to that, what will have to happen for my hope that we're going to get coffee, for my hope that you're going to see that text, what's going to have to happen for that hope to actually become faith? That now what I hope for is actually going to take place. What has to happen there? Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Sure that it's going to take place. And if you haven't responded yet, if you haven't responded to my text, I don't know if you've seen it. I don't know if we're going to get coffee. I'm still just hoping. I hope we have coffee. I hope you respond. I don't have faith yet. I don't have faith that we're going to have coffee because faith is assurance of what we can't see. And it isn't seeing something physical. It's not a physical sight. It's a mental image of what it's going to look like. It's certain that something is going to happen, something that hasn't happened, but it will happen. So what could give me confidence that you're going to have coffee with me? Verse 2 says this. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So here's what the writer's doing. He's saying, okay, listen. Faith, that what we hope for is going to happen. Like, I could just tell you more about it, he says, but let me give you an example. Basically, what he's doing is like, hey, come over to my house. Let's sit down, and I want to show you the Michael Jordan video. I'm telling you he's the greatest player of all time, but let me just show you. So what he's saying is, I want to tell you about faith. I'm going to roll it out for you. I'm going to tell you that faith is hope or a confidence that what we hope for is going to take place. Let me show you a highlight reel of some people who long ago basically developed a reputation for having faith, for having an assurance of what they saw was going to happen, even though it hadn't happened. He could just describe it to us. But he says, let me lay it out. Let me reveal it in action to you so you know how it plays out. You can see it. So he's like, okay, let's sit down. Let's push play. Oh, wait. Then he says, before I push play, let me make sure you're thinking correctly about this. Then he goes to verse 3. He says this, by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. So what he's saying is this. If you're a Christian, well, even if you're not a Christian, if you would just say that you believe that God took nothing and turned it into something, he's saying, what is it that makes you confident of that? What is it that gives you faith that God formed the entire universe out of nothing? Where do you get the assurance that happened? And his question here, he's not having one of these debates about, like, what's the process? He's not saying, was it 7 days or was it like seven? Was it seven literal days or was it seven periods of time? This isn't a debate about whether God just like said it and all of a sudden it happened or whether he used some sort of evolutionary process. That's not what the debate is here. What the writer is saying is, what gives you faith that God made something out of nothing? What he's saying is, you believe it by faith because you see it, because you're living on it, because you're living in it. This is the universe that you're a part of. There it is. You can see it. So you have faith that it took place. Essentially, I can't guarantee this, but I'm pretty sure that none of you have ever woken up in the middle of the night, rolled over to the side of your bed and started going, I hope. I really hope God made nothing into something. No, why? Why have you never done that? Because you can see something, right? You just look around and you're like, there's the earth. I can see the universe. I can look out. I can see the stars. I can see the earth. I can see other people. We happen to be on the easy end of this one because it's already there. We can already see it because faith is seeing what's happened. And in the case of the universe, it's done, right? It's not going to happen. It's happened. And so the writer is saying, listen, faith is seeing it. You can already see it. He's basically like, do you get it? Do you understand what's going on here? Do you see how faith plays out? It's seeing something that's going to happen. We see that the universe has happened, ready to go. Now he hits the play button. We're going to fast forward because I want to just talk about two guys. Chapter 7, it says this. It says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about things that had never happened before. Why did Noah build the ark? Did Noah come up with it? Was Noah sitting around thinking, you know what? It's time to bring some rain. These people are getting out of control. And so then Noah's like, you know what? Here's the deal, God. I'm going to build a really big ark. I'm going to get inside. And then I need you to bring some rain. I have faith that you could do it. I know you don't know what rain is, God. You've never done it before. But I need you to send some rain. I need you to destroy everything. I think that'd be a good idea right now. And hey, God, in fact, I want to show you how much faith I have because we're going to build a big boat. My boys and I, we're going to build a big boat and we're going to bring every kind of animal in. Actually, we're going to build it big enough that we can get two of every animal in because I'm thinking ahead. We'll have some babies afterwards and it'll work out. You know, the animals will do their thing. And God's up in heaven just chilling, you know, just hanging out. And he's looking around. Also, he's like, what's Noah doing? I don't know what he's doing, but it looks like he's got a lot of faith. He's sitting there praying for rain. Huh. His boys are out collecting animals they've never heard of before. And God was suddenly perplexed, and he's like, I haven't really thought about all this, but that's a lot of faith. They think I can make rain. They're asking for something. I've never even done it before. I don't even know if it's possible. Can I cover the whole earth in rain? Well, they got a lot of faith. I guess I better give it a go. Hey, Noah, let me know when you guys are in the ark. I'll close the door. I'll take care of that part. And then who initiated it? Whose deal was it? God's. And so it was by faith that Noah built the ark. It doesn't say he had hope. He had faith. He wasn't hoping it was going to rain. He wasn't hoping that this thing wasn't going to be a big waste of time. And now he's got a boat in his backyard. He wasn't hoping that, hey, if this doesn't work out, you know, I hope people will buy tickets and come see these animals, right? I mean, like, Noah was basically saying, it's God's idea. I don't get it. I don't know how it's going to play out. I've never seen rain. I've never seen, that's an anteater. I've never seen that before either. This is crazy. But he said, the writer says, out of faith, he built it because he was assured that it was going to happen. Next guy, verse 8 says this. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. So again, Abraham didn't just have some great idea. Abraham didn't think to himself, you know what? I need God to give me a big chunk of land because I think I'm going to be the father of a nation. A whole bunch of people are gonna come after me. You know, I just have this great big group, and we're gonna need a place to live. So then he called up God, and he's like, "Hey, God, let's go for a little walk. I got something I want to show you. Got some ideas I want to run past you." And God was counting stars and realized Abraham had a bunch of faith, and so he's like, "Well, I gotta go. Hadn't really been thinking about them being a nation and needing a place to live, but sounds like a good deal. All right, let's go." He's got faith. No, it's not what happened, right? God came to Abraham and said, listen, I've got something amazing I want to show you. I know this doesn't completely make sense. I'm going to create this entire nation out of you, but I want to give you this amazing piece of land. Would you come with me? I want to show you what it looks like. Come with me. Just let's go. Your descendants, it's going to take a while. It's going to be a while before they get this place, but let's take a walk. Let me show you what it's going to look like. So Abraham got up and he put on his sandals. He didn't know where he was going. But he knew that God was going to show him what would happen one day. Then just a couple verses later, the author begins to go, you know what, there's a question that might grow out of this. And basically the question, what happens if Abraham never actually gets the land? What if Abraham never actually takes possession? It says this in verse 13. It says, all these people died still believing that God had promised what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. Abraham saw the land, but he never actually owned the land. He lived on it, but it was never actually his. It wasn't until generations later that it was actually theirs. But they saw the promise. They saw the assurance. They could see it from a distance, what God was going to make happen, but he never had ownership of it. Noah didn't see a drop of rain until he actually got into the boat. But both of them continued to act. They continued to live. They continued to move in faith for what they hoped for, or faith that they hoped what they were hoping for was actually going to happen. And the reason that they did that is it was all based on what God said to them, based on what God told them, all about what God communicated what was going to happen. And then as a result, they moved based on God's promise, based on what God said to them. And it's God's promise that brought faith, because promise is the bridge from hope to faith. What has to happen for me to move from hope that you've seen my text to have coffee? What has to happen for me to move from hope to faith that you're actually going to show up for coffee? It would require me to show up for coffee with faith that you're going to be there when you actually respond and say, got your text. Sounds like a great plan. Let's have coffee. I assume you're buying, right? Now I have faith that we're going to meet at Starbucks. Now I can see what's going to happen. I have assurance of the promise because you said I'm going to show. If I got to Starbucks without getting a text back from you, I would just be sitting there going, I hope. I hope they saw the text. I hope they're going to show up. But as soon as you say, I'll be there, I got it. Now with confidence, I can show up and know you're going to be there. It's faith now coming to life. It's so much more now than just, oh, please. Your promise, your word that you're going to be there was the bridge that took me from hope to faith. And now I'm going to do something that most of you are not going to like very much. I need to lay out a bridge of promise for you. I realized really late in the week, after I'd already sent in my notes to the gal that does all the printing and people that does all the this was going to take way too long. That this was too long for one morning. And so you're at the point, hopefully, where you're looking for a definition of faith and an explanation of faith and what that looks like. So my promise to you is this. Next week, I will give you that definition. And if you'll respond in faith and come back, you'll get it. Every week on the back of these Connect cards, we want to provide you with some practical next steps. And unfortunately, because I just did that little bit, two of these don't make any sense at all. So there's two of them. What does God want to do in your life? How is God calling you to respond? Even with just the first half of this, what's your next step? Maybe your next step is to simply identify your misconceptions of faith. Number two and three, you can just read those, but they'll be there next week. And this next one is huge. Maybe your next step is to commit to being at Silver Creek for the rest of this series, specifically next week. If you can't make it, tough. No, actually, we put them online, and you can listen to it there. But you know what? I don't know what you got going on, but unless you're going to the moon, you might probably can be able to figure it out. Be here. Do what you can. Let's pray. God, would you help us to move to a point of being open to what faith is all about? God, we hear this. We desire to have confidence and assurance of what we hope for. Help us to be able to move towards that. God, even though we haven't totally defined what faith looks like, would you begin to grow that within us? Even if we can't define it necessarily yet, would you help us to begin to understand what it means to have faith in you? God, whatever it is that's getting in the way of next week, would you help us to figure out either how to get here or make sure we get online and hear what you want to do and how you want to reveal and how you want us to learn to allow faith to be a reality in our life. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.